The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 8, verses 19 to 21. Luke chapter 8, verses 19 to 21. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Amen. Chapter 8, there's a parable of the sower and the parable of a lamp on a stand. When Jesus preached about the kingdom of God with parables to help listeners understand, he was always surrounded by many people. Jesus not only preached the word, but also healed the sick and drove out evil spirits and ghosts. People who saw Jesus preach and perform miracles from close by were amazed by his preachings, healings, and restoration. After speaking about the parable of the sower, Jesus told the people about the meaning of the parable. Let us look at Luke chapter 8, verses 12 to 15. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe it for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those who, with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop. This means that the words falling on soil does not lead to the word producing crops. The word could fall on the soil, but be lost to one's desires and thoughts. So there may be people who are not saved. There also may be others who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but with no roots, do not remain joyful or believe the word for long, and then falling away in the time of testing. The word may fall on the soil, but be unable to produce crops due to life's worries, riches, and pleasures. But when the word falls on soil and the person hears a word with a good heart, retain it and preserve it so that the word takes root, then it will produce crops. We should not feel content that the word has fallen on soil. We must entrust ourselves to the hands of God, who plows up our soil so that the word can take root. The Lord calls us to endure the moment while God plows. The second class of Pastor Lijeter's mission course provides a detailed explanation of the parable of the word fallen on four types of land. The farmer scatters seeds as the wind blows. The seed falls on four types of land, but only the seed sowed on fertile soil produces crops. There's only one difference between the path, rocky ground, and thorn bush, which does not produce crop and fertile soil. It is about a matter of self-denial. Self-denial takes place only in the case of the fertile soil. When the soil is plowed with the farmer's shovel, and when rocks and tree roots are removed, it is a time of suffering and pain for the soil. However, plowing up is an inevitable process to produce crop of life. When fertile soil takes in the seed begins to take in the fertile soil. The seed takes the nourishment and moisture from the soil. And when the time comes, this process leads to a bearing of abundant crop. Then the role of the fertile soil is to take in the planted seed. And then the fertile soil is taken by the seed. It is an act of the fertile soil which took in the seed, giving all it has to the seed so that it can produce more crops. The seed represents God's words. If we take in God's words, then God's words take us in. The result is it leads to the practice of the word in our lives and the bearing of crops. After telling the parable of the sower, Jesus also talks about the parable of the lamp on a stand. Someone who lights up a stand does so with the hope that the surroundings are lit by the light. A stand reveals things that were hidden in the darkness by lighting up its surroundings. This is the word that the Lord has given about the stand. Let us look at Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them. Consider carefully how you listen means to make a choice to hear the right things and to pay attention to the listening. Today's culture keeps our eyes and ears fixated to the mass media and takes hold of our minds. The Lord speaks of needing to exercise discretion in what we hear and has provided us the same conclusion as that in the parable of minas in Luke chapter 19. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed as king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas, telling them to put the money to work until he came back. The man was made king and returned home and called the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first servant said, "Sir, your mina has earned 10 more." The master replied, "Well done, my good servant, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter. You can take charge of 10 cities." The second came and said, "Sir, your mina has earned 5 more." So the master answered, "You can now take charge of 5 cities." Then another servant came and said, "Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sell." Then the master replied, "You wicked servant, I will judge you by your own words. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sell? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?" Then he said to those standing by, "Take his mina away from him and give it to those who has 10 minas." They said, "He already has 10. Then the master replied, "I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away." In order to keep health, one needs to make a great effort while they are healthy. If you seek health but do not make an effort for it and let your body grow weak, you will lose the health you had previously. The more a student studies, the more he will learn, but if he does not continue to study, he will lose even the knowledge he had acquired. Through the parable of the lamp, the Lord has taught us that whoever hears the word and receives instruction from it will acquire greater instruction, and those who do not listen with caution will lose even what he thought he knew. Going a step further, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, God speaks of light. "In the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is light, there is nothing that cannot be revealed." The Holy Spirit reveals what we want to keep hidden and what we have conducted in secrecy. Those who hear the word and live according to it in the Holy Spirit, which is the light, may not see any hope, but if they continue to live according to the word, they will eventually produce crops. If one takes in the seed of God's words, one will bear a crop of the fertile soil. However, if one takes in the seeds of the lust, honor, and materials, then one will not be able to bear crops like the seeds that fell on the path, rocky ground, and thorn bushes. David, who had planted the seed of lust, ended up killing Uriah in order to take Bathsheba. Israel's first king Saul and Absalom, who sought to become king, both of whom planted seeds of honor, faced a miserable end. Gehazi, who planted seeds of material, not only became a leper, but this also affected his descendants. The Lord warns us in Luke chapter 6 that it is not enough merely to listen. Let us take a look at Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. I will read the verses in the Revised Version. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Having simply heard is not equal to having listened. Having listened well and acted accordingly shows the results. The act of building a house was the same for the man who built a house with the foundation on a rock and another who built one on the ground without a foundation. But when a flood comes, the result shows a stark difference. Living our lives, how much do we make an effort to listen to what our family members, colleagues, or people around us have to say? We tend to trust those around us who make an effort to listen to one's words and allow them to assume important tasks. It is important in our life to pay attention to what we hear around us and to seek their meanings. Our living God tells us his will towards us during every Sunday through the sermon, through group Bible studies, through morning prayer messages when we read the Word. When we listen in on the Lord who speaks to us, we can live as people who have built their houses on a foundation of rock. Abraham heard God telling him to sacrifice his only son, who he gave birth to at 100 years of age. When he heard God's word, he did not interpret the word from his perspective or try to compromise with God, asking to think from Sarah's perspective. Abraham, who had earnestly listened to God's word from long ago, remembered God's promise that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and sand of the sea, and took his only son Isaac to Mount Moriah. Rahab, a prostitute living in Jericho, heard from afar about the God of the Israelites. She did not disregard what she heard. What she heard made her confess that the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. In James chapter 2, verses 25 to 26, evaluate Rahab's action as the following. Was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Peter, who heard Jesus speak after he came to him at Lake Gennesaret, where he was washing his fishing net, went back to the sea into the deep waters, and let down the nets according to Jesus' words, despite having caught nothing all night. And when he saw the number of fish that they caught, Peter came to the realization about his existence. When he realized that Peter was a sinner, he asked for Jesus to leave him, but Jesus called Peter to be a fisherman who fishes for people. To the calling of Jesus, Peter left his boat at shore and left everything behind to follow him. Jesus in the Gospel of Luke spoke through parables about how important it is to listen to the stories about the kingdom of God. Through the Synoptic Gospel of the Lord introduces Jesus' mother and brothers to tell that it is important not only to hear, but that those who listen and act accordingly are true members of the kingdom of God. Let me read today's passage in the Revised Version. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mothers and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Jesus' mother and his brothers came to the site of Jesus' ministry in order to meet him. The Gospel of Mark, which records the same event, says, Jesus' family members took Jesus as having gone crazy and came to get him. Pharisees and scribes who saw Jesus as driving out ghosts mistook Jesus as driving out ghosts in power by the King of Ghosts. When considering the rumors that Mary and Jesus' brother heard about Jesus, one can presume that they came to the site to take Jesus, was in conflict with religious leaders and was even viewed as a crazy man, and to take Jesus home. Jesus, who heard about his mother and brothers had come and were standing outside to see him, told the people around him that these people who hear God's word and put it into practice are my mother and brothers. The term hutoi, translated into these people, does not limit the people to a particular group. The term did not refer to a certain subject, but rather to people hearing and practicing God's word. There's no way now to find out whether the people sitting in front of Jesus were only hearing Jesus' preaching or whether they were putting them into practice. Jesus did not intend on embarrassing his mother and brothers in front of the masses by saying in front of them that the people listening to him were his mother and brothers. Of course, his words were not intended on denying the existence of his mother and brothers or their blood relationship. Jesus was stressing how blessed and invaluable it is to hear God's word and put it into practice. Stating that those who hear God's word and put it into practice are his mother and brothers is explaining that how you live in the face of God's word holds greater importance than the ties you have with your family members, who are usually considered the most valuable people around you. The concept of a new family Jesus refers to is not based on a blood relationship, but on hearing God's word and putting it into practice. Let me read to you John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born to God." It means that making oneself obey to God's will and putting God's words into practice as one has heard it makes one a true family member of Jesus, children of God, and true Christians, making us brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. Differences in wealth, region, culture, and class are irrelevant in the scope of Jesus' family. Jesus' family transcends eras and ideas. The only condition is living according to God's will. Are you hearing God's word and putting it into practice? If you're still simply hearing God's word, I urge you to take a step into putting the word into practice. If you still remain in the spot at which you shed tears, being overwhelmed by God's love, I urge to take your first step to a spot at which you can serve other members of the Lord's family. Since December, I've started working for the Sunday School ministry. I have been assigned to the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church's Sunday School, so I am carrying out the ministry with 10 other pastors. Pastors in charge of the congregational groups for adults are carrying out ministries for youth and senior congregation members, and those carrying out the ministry of Sunday School preside the services for infants through high school students and are in charge of guiding their faith in relation to their family. At the Sunday School, we have begun a campaign titled Bible Lovers starting this fall. The campaign is meant on guiding children and students to grow to love the Bible and the Word of God. Children and students are taught to bring Bibles when they come to church on Sunday, and they're assisted in finding the scripture passage during the service. They hear about the secrets hidden in the passage they have found through their pastors. Bible lovers are also encouraged to read the Bible not only on Sundays but also during the week with their parents and memorize verses. We are guiding them to obey and live according to God's words when they read and memorize both at church and within their families. Since November, I've been attending the Sunday sermon for each of the divisions of the Sunday School. In the Young Children's Service, children aged 4 to 5 take part in the service. When I attended, I could see young children taking out their Bibles from their bags for the service. When the sermon began and the preacher told them to find the Bible passage, the young students went to their teachers with their Bibles, asking them to find the passages. Some children even lined up in front of the preacher to ask for help in finding the passage. I was deeply touched to see them seeking their teachers and the preacher to ask them to find the Bible passage. These are children who have not even learned to read and write. I found it so precious to see the young children keeping the Bible close to their hearts as they had been taught. In the infant division of the Sunday School, the infants were kneeled in front of the Bibles that their parents had placed in front of them, looking at the passage. Each fall, the Sunday School has been notifying the congregation of teacher recruitment. I ask you to come and serve as teachers who find Bible passages for young children who do not know how to read or write, but come to ask teachers to find the passage for them. If you become a Sunday School teacher, you can help the children find the Bible passages and read them together, teach them the God's Word, and you can also become friends for students who are undergoing puberty. Besides young children, there are also growing teenagers in Sunday School. I ask that you have conversations of faith with them. Through the Sunday School teachers, the children of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church Sunday School community will live as sincere and honest, true light of the world, as members not only of their blood-related families, but as members of the Lord's family within the church, the body of Christ. They will grow as fruits which will lead this era, not as Sunday Christians, but as true Christians. There are also many volunteering stations within the church besides the Sunday School that are vacant. Some require enduring the cold and heat. Some require washing dishes. Some are not visible to other people. There are many positions within the church through which members can move on to living the word, from simply hearing the word. We have lived the past year with the church motto, which is 3 days later, he will rise. Jesus not only preached God's word, he obeyed God's will and was crucified on the cross and rose from the dead in 3 days. God will allow greater blessings of the kingdom of God for those who live according to God's word. The Lord has taught us through the parable of the lamp that if one refuses to live putting God's word into practice, we will lose the Holy Spirit within us as time passes. As mentioned in the sermon delivered last week, if someone served as a passage of grace or the island of Malta for us, I ask you to be an island of Malta for students of the Sunday school. You can live as a channel linking someone to an island of Malta, not only at Sunday school, but within and outside the church. Today is the fourth week of Advent, during which we wait and prepare for the celebration of the Nativity of Jesus. The word delivered during Advent is an invitation for us to live as true Christians. I pray that this Sunday, ahead of Christmas, be a blessed time for you to deliver to the Lord gifts of obedience and service, of determination to live lives of obedience and service. The Lord, who will joyfully accept our gift, has already called us to be part of his family long ago. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us the fourth week of Advent. You have called us to become members of your family and want our daily lives to be lives of members of the Lord's family. However, weak as we are, we are tied to our physical lusts and worldly pride. You have entrusted to us our family, community members, colleagues, our nation, and surrounding nations, but fixated to worldly concerns, we have been unable to sow the seeds of your word, and instead plant the seeds of lust, material, and honor. Like Abraham, Rahab, and Peter, let us live as people who, by hearing God's word, build their houses on a foundation of rock. Do not let us realize and shed tears after a flood comes and sweeps away our houses, that we built them on ground without any foundation. Let us not forget that the most invaluable gift we can offer to the Lord marking Christmas is not an expensive gift, but fruits that we reap in our lives as we live according to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.